Can I say something about the look that Dominique Foxworth has?
Oh, yeah. I've got thoughts as well.
I want to start by saying that I think it works. Dominique yeah. looks like he looks like
here's the curveball.
No,
Dominique looks hot. Dominique looks hot. I'm gonna just say it. I try to come up with a metaphor.
He's giving
this is
me,
weirdly
he's
working for me.
Junior analyst at Goldman Sachs after five beers. It's 7:30, and those beers were Coronas.
Yes. Yes, well done. I was gonna say, first of all, we must thank Corona for presenting Debatable. And before Pablo can come back and make any other jokes, the look that I'm going for is civil rights activists who are fresh out of jail.
Oh!
I just got out.
They handed you the bag of your clothes back.
Yeah. I just completed a proper sit-in. I got some bumps and bruises. My tie is not completely tied, but I'm going to keep this shit on because dignity, damn it.
We need a little more facial hair on the sides because you didn't really get it. Not that,
you know
that
what else I noticed? This might send us on another long tangent, but you know, I like to order great research projects that never get done. I want to know who got the first shape up, because whenever you see civil rights leaders, Martin Luther King never had a fresh lineup. Like the 70s, nobody had a shape up in the 70s.
Wow.
So
Dominique,
somewhere in the 80s, someone was like, what would happen if we altered the hairline a little bit?
Yeah.
Fresh that everybody's still doing it.
Someone was like, the arc of justice needs to get real cleaned up. Yeah, line up that arc. But on that note, though, my only response to Dominique's whole like self-branding exercise is that you're now sitting in a room that feels real FBI. Kind of giving informant.
He's
now
been
that
working
I get
the case.
No,
he's been working
the
case for like two straight days. He hasn't seen his kids. He's been eating like Diet Coke and granola bars, and he still can't find out where the murder weapon is.
Oh man, Alabaster, how angry are you? We wasted a solid 2 minutes.
I know we had such
not,
a good
not at all.
Last night,
you just
this is when you
I've
build
waiting,
the audience.
So.
We're building the audience. You got to wait for people to come inside the tent before you start the show. You're welcome.
I just really wanted to call you Dominique School of Roxworth with the loosened tie.
Womp, womp, womp.
Let's move on.
I like it, Alabaster.
Thank you. You're not giving me enough credit. That was good.
That was good. I like it.
It was pretty good. Dominique as the cool band teacher. Yeah.
That's right. First topic. What do you read into Nathaniel Hackett's decision to take the ball out of Mr. Unlimited Russell Wilson's hand on fourth down with the game on the line?
This felt like an extended panic attack. Like the entire end of the game, like the timeouts, the decision, the press conference where he is breathing so hard and fast into the microphone. All of it, Dominique, like I assume there's football to be discussed, but it just felt like a guy freaking out.
So I get it. Seemed like the freak out came later. If you notice, like, you remember people used to talk about fight or flight, like when we were younger, they added fight, flight, or freeze to it because that is another like physiological response in danger. And that's what happened to him. Mm. He didn't fight, he didn't run, he just froze and just watched the clock tick down. Like, I wish it were a panic attack. A panic attack, I think you would have done something. Like, you would have called a play, called a timeout, did anything, but just sat there. And it's not so bad that the decision was wrong because, yes, you should go for it. Statistically, you should go for it. Your gut should tell you to go for it. Everything should tell you to go for it in that situation. However, if you're going to kick it, you still need to preserve time because the probabilities of you hitting that kick are low. So you need to increase your win probability by giving yourself a chance to get the ball back because it took 13 seconds for the Chiefs to win in the playoffs last year. So like there was nothing about this that he did well. And the last thing is he didn't take responsibility afterwards, which really bothered me as a former player is you had all that time to make the right decision. Okay. You bleeped up. All right. It happens. Then you have the plenty of time to think about it as you're walking to the podium to give your press conference. and you tried to defend the indefensible without saying, I thought he was going to make it. It was a bad decision on my part. I'll get better. I want to apologize to my players because they put it all out on the field. We all made some mistakes, but this was inexcusable for me. I'm going to work on that. While they're practicing, I'm going to read a book about clock management.
So let me just say that everyone has this wrong. Because one thing I love about this particular show is we've already gone through the Takester news cycles. Dominique's tie is loosened because he's tired from taking on First Take and on Get Up. And even our producer is wrong with all of his cards. This was not a bad decision. It was a bad decision on one play. But the entire game long, they were not getting to the line and snapping the ball on time. The first quarter, the second quarter, the third quarter, and the fourth quarter. There was a fumble on the goal line because Russell Wilson was like, snap the ball, snap the ball, snap the ball. And the line was not ready to block for the running play that was called. Like, this was a systematic failure from beginning to end, not just the end. And then, after he messes up, does the kick from 64, he then, on a kneel down, he calls timeouts. I'm looking at the clock, and I'm like, wait a second. Can they get the ball back? And I'm like, no, they can't get the ball back. He's rooting for what? A fumbled snap on a kneel down that then gets recovered by the defense? Is that what this man thinks will happen? Like, it was wild. The delay of games and the snapping the ball in 1 second to me was like, as someone who had some financial investment in the Broncos, I was so frustrated by this. I'm like, bro, you get 40 seconds, not 50, not 45. Like, you can mess up in the first half. Make the adjustments, please.
It's also the
great
thing.
Taker.
Yeah, truly. Thank you for advancing us in the take life cycle. Because we're at the point where I do agree with Dominique at the beginning, right? Like, flight, fight, or freeze. Jacoby, what he just established is that Nathaniel Hackett was mostly just like, urinating on himself, freezing for the entire
game.
That's what freezes. No, Dominique, that's what freezes. If you're frozen and you're confronted by a threat in the wild, you either poop or pee yourself to deter predators. That's just in our wiring. That is biological anthropology. Look it up. That's why hairs on our arms stand on end. That's why we pee and poop to protect ourselves.
Dominique, I know you're a defensive player, but like, explain to me how time and time again they just can't snap the ball until they're panicking, and three times they can't even snap the ball. Like, how does that happen throughout an entire course of a game?
I don't know, because I spent a lot of time saying that it's not that hard to call plays. Defensive coaches can call offensive plays because you have a menu with the plays on it. Apparently, you must solve a Sudoku puzzle before you can send the play into the earpiece of your starting quarterback. I don't know. It's not that hard to pick a play. You're on the inch yard line. I'm pretty sure you know the plays. We're either going to run the ball or we're going to play action pass. They didn't either. They fumbled. And that, I mean, the other time they just couldn't get across the line, again, because they're rushing and confused. So, yeah, you're right. It's unfair of us to focus all on this last decision only. We must focus on his game-long.
Thank you.
Urinating.
Thank you. Nathaniel Hackett made a bad decision. Like, no, Nathaniel Hackett had a bad game.
A bad decision.
He had a bad game, like from start to finish. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, this bet's gonna play. I got the over parlayed with the Broncos. They're scoring points. They're moving the ball. This is gonna be a no brainer. And they just couldn't. It was so frustrating.
Can we talk though about how you deal with it once it happens, Jacob? Because I agree with you, right? You've made a very compelling case that this is about a lot more than just the last series of decisions. But after those decisions are made and you're at the podium and you're Nathaniel Hackett, you're talking real fast, you're trying to avoid responsibility, you're trying to say all these things in coach speak to make sure that, hey, everybody knows understanding. I did this on purpose. Russell Wilson gets up there and he says, this is the right decision. And if you're Russ, right? Like, are you just a great friend to your coach? Are you a leader? Are you also just incredibly, incredibly inexplicable yourself? Is that just smart PR by Russell? Because Nathaniel Hackett doing this, right? What it did at the very least is ensure that on a Monday Night Football game where everybody's watching exactly one thing, everybody is going to be talking about him, right? The way you play this out, if you're very cynical in chess movie, is let Russell Wilson take it. Because that way it's not on me at the very least, right? That's part of the luxury of having him. But here is Russ saying, That was the right call.
I think we learned that Russell Wilson, not a great friend of a head coach. I think we learned that last week with the articles that came out. But I have a question to push this forward. Is it possible that Russ just isn't that good anymore? Like, they lost to the Seahawks. We get one in that game thinking the Seahawks were terrible and tanking and the worst team in the league. And the Broncos had blue chippers at every position. And this Russell Wilson offense, the same as Seattle. Mediocre.
So you're being an awesome producer by putting that foolishness out here for us to chew on. He threw for 340. I mean, they were in the red zone three times in the second half and did not score more than 3 points.
Or
scored a total of 3 points. Yeah, they lost. So we're doing quarterback or wins as a quarterback stat now? Like, yeah, I think Russell could have played better. But the reason why they lost was not because of Russell.
No.
Defense played well. Like, you can put the lion's share of the blame on the coach. It seems pretty obvious and fair what happened there. I don't know how you get out of this blaming Russell.
To answer what Pablo was hinting at, was one thing I found really interesting is everybody at home, whether they started watching football 5 years ago or for 55 years, is asking for a timeout. When they call the timeout, the camera goes to Russ, and Russ looks to the sideline and goes like this. Like, that was the plan all along. Like, we're all wondering why they don't call timeout. And then when I find out that the field goal unit has taken the field, I was like, oh, I'm wrong. They shouldn't have called a timeout because they planned this to eat clock because they're going to kick a field goal. Then I looked at how far away they were from actually kicking a field goal, and I was like, how was this the plan all along? So to circle back to what you were saying, Pablo, and to completely ignore what Alabaster was saying, because that's what I do.
Thank you.
I think that was the strategy. Like, there was a strategy to kick that field goal from that distance that was agreed upon by Russell Wilson and coach. However, they have this option. You can call a timeout early in the clock and take some time and discuss the strategy, because kicking a 64-yard field goal versus a 4th-and-5, analytics or gut or football experience tells you go for the 4th-and-5.
And it was like, I was surprised that he could make such a bad decision, because he's been around football his entire life. He's the son of a coach. He's been a coach himself for a whole long. And like, I am willing to extend some grace to anyone who is faced with like a once in a lifetime decision, like something completely unexpected happens. If there was an earthquake before that 4th down, all right, no, there's no way we could prepare for this. This was a normal ass end of game situation, guys. Like, this is run of the mill end of game stuff.
It's also,
like, we practice football, we always end in 2 minute drill. We always, last period of practice, 2 minute drill. And we go through a ton of different scenarios. It ain't just for us. It's for the coaches too, to understand how to operate in that. And if you can't figure out how to call a play in a normal situation, I guess I should not expect you to understand how to make the proper decision at the end of the game.
It's also, Dominique, never been a worse time to be a coach who doesn't know how to manage this shit. Because I was flipping between E1 and E2, watching Peyton. Just like, imagine having a Peyton Manning at your job in a tiny screen. It's like,
but you don't need Peyton Manning. Like, we were all thinking the same thing.
No. Like, so exactly. And to that point, Jacoby, it's also everybody at home now. It's the hive. Everybody realizing simultaneously, yo, this guy is pooping himself. And that's where
we cannot gloss over the two timeouts while Geno Smith was kneeling on the ball. That part to me was insane. If I'm Nathaniel Hackett, I want to get off that field, shake the hand, and go cry in the corner, right? But like, the idea that he's just like, timeout, make him kneel it again. Timeout, make him kneel it again. I'm watching my TV like, what are you doing? Like, what do you think is gonna happen? What do you think is gonna happen?
Should we praise Geno at this point, by the way? Because I feel like we've done so much burying of the defecating Nathaniel Hackett that the resurrected Geno Smith, I feel like, that Dominique, that stadium being that loud, that intoxicatingly loud, the high that Geno Smith must have been on postgame, holy shit.
We need to determine if his, like, his action hero line was a winner or a loser.
This was a big debate.
Wait, wrote them off and I didn't write back?
Yeah, I personally think repurposing that Drake line in that moment was whack as hell.
Oh, that's a Drake line?
So, Jacoby, this is
I believe so.
This is what happened. I thought it was actually an awesome line. Dominique thought that line was lame coming out of his mouth. I was like, but that's actually, imagine being on the spot coming up with that. That's just actually an amazing quote. And then, Jacoby, I did some Googles, and it turned out that Drake said that line in a song once. And I was like,
God damn it. That you just sullied a great moment. You know what? I wish I never had that information. I wish I never had that information.
Whack before you knew that information.
No, it reminded me of Did You Call Bank? No, I Called Game, which is probably the best that I could come up with in the history of that sort of like on the spot. I'm a vibe off of what you said and like flip it and spin it.
But this is like, a genre. Dominique, this is a genre that Dominique hates where it's the we're in a conversation metaphorically somehow and I am participating in it by virtue of my actions.
I just don't like the – it feels like it felt prepared. So if he could have made it feel off the cuff or if he could have like fed the question like, they wrote you off and he responded with, well, I ain't right back. That is cool. But how do you feel about it? He's like, well, they wrote me off. I didn't write back. Like if you are going to do something that is completely premeditated and obviously premeditated, you need a writer's room. Like you need some people to punch it up because that was weak. But if it's off the cuff, that's different. Well, if it was genuinely off the cuff, but I promise you that Gino had been thinking about that at least all week in a post-game interview. After that, I'm going to tell him that I ain't right back. And then he hit it and I was like, nah.
But you know what? You know, in fairness to Gino Smith, if you told me that Gino Smith had been preparing like that, I would have laughed in his face on the assumption that he would ever have to use that line.
Well, that's the thing. It's like Geno Smith was not – he woke up this morning like, I'm probably going to lose this football game. And Russell Wilson, as we know by the outfit, woke up that morning like, I'm definitely going to win this football game. I'm definitely going to win this football game.
The Tux had big, like, weird kid at school energy. Like, I almost felt borderline bad making fun of him. I was just like, I think he's just – there's something odd about him in a way that makes it – it was iridescent. It was.
It looked like a trout that was going to prom. I did not like that suit at all, particularly at a loss. And he doesn't have a clothes body. You know, some people, no matter what they wear, they look good in it. He's a square body.
That's a great body.
He's a Lego man. He has a Lego man.
I didn't think about that, but for me, it was more like I was thinking. I was like, if Kyle Kuzma wears something crazy, I'm like, oh, he's just younger and like he's cool, and I just don't like relate to that outfit. Russell Westbrook, even, who's like a little older, I'm like, he's just like a different person than I am. I can't wear that, but he can. But for some reason, when Russell Wilson does it, I'm like, that doesn't work. Like, it's not. I don't even know if it's a closed body. It's like the closed personality, even.
Yeah. No, the overdressing, the black tie wedding attire at a cocktail event. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's not the Rockefeller brunch, Mr. Wilson. It's Monday Night Football.
It's very much like Greenberg slang. Like, oh, am I echoing?
Yeah, we all are. Don't worry, they can't hear it at home. Don't worry.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, I feel like once Mike Greenberg uses the slang, it's dead. And so, like, if I had on an outfit and I saw Russell wear it to a press conference, I'm like, all right, jump the shark. I got to throw this shirt away. Like, he's not that guy.
That's cap, Dominique. That's cap.
All right. We're done with that word. Retired it. Cap is officially retired.
I do like that one of our big takeaways from this game is that both quarterbacks are actually tryhards. Very proud of our analysis there. But my question to you guys, just one final follow-up before we move on. Are you surprised that the Seahawks fans booed him? He's sort of the best player in franchise history.
I'm not.
I'm not. I don't put a lot of stake into this stuff. I think that people generalize, like, yeah, there were some boos. And, like, you know, you're there, you're lathered up, your whole point to be there is to yell stuff and to sort of like try to impact the game through your yelling. But
exactly.
That doesn't make me – I don't put that on Seahawks fandom or Seattle or whatever. Like, yeah, a couple guys threw trash at Dak Prescott. That doesn't change the way I feel about Cowboys fans or Dallas. Like, I fans are called fans because they're short for fanatics and they're crazy people. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't really bother me. And I don't really put much stake in it
either. Classic line. Classic. That's Drake classic sports Drake media line right there. I like it. Yeah, he did. In one of his songs, fans are short for fanatics. Sporadic.
We should come up with a term, by the way. Is it milk draking? Milk drake ducking?
Did when you just start freestyling, Dominique? What just happened there?
We're talking about Drake. I feel like I needed to rhyme something with fanatic, and all I could come up with was sporadic.
Okay.
Automatic?
Well, you should probably be working some more in the old attic then.
That doesn't even make sense. I get it. In all attic. Went over my attic. Cowboys.
Did you already go with automatic?
Went over the attic. Went over the attic.
Semi-automatic. Anyway.
I think we can all agree that Dominique is overdosed on confidence. But let's move on to the Cowboys.
He's a confidence addict.
I am.
My question for you guys, there's news that Dak is, you know, maybe not out as long as we think, but we'll see. Dr. Jerry Jones seems to think he'll be back soon. But my question for you all, should the Cowboys make a move for Jimmy G?
I want a workplace drama. Not even workplace drama. I want, like, Grey's Anatomy, but for the Cowboys doctors. Just like everybody wearing giant hats and lassos and boots and shit, trying to figure out the future of a multi-billion-dollar franchise because Dak Prescott apparently was out 4 to 8 weeks, but now 6 to 8 was now 3 to 4, baby.
Jerry Jones walks in the room and is like, sorry, it's not 4 to 6. It's 3 to 4. You're welcome.
Yeah. Like, hey, how about we cut that in half?
Would you rather cut that in half or your salary in half, sir? One of these is going to cut in half.
Yes, sir, Mr. Jones. And Dak will be back in no time. Lickety split.
Yeah, it's Mike McCarthy.
A whole terrible story.
Mike McCarthy standing there with binders full of quarterbacks. You know, just like, I know all the quarterbacks. I know all binders of them. I have them all on a list. Printed them out. Yes. Just full Romney. Mike
They're all last name is McCowan. He's just like, I've got those guys in my phone. It's McCowan.
Oh, gosh. I did enjoy the looking at the potential quarterbacks that they could bring in. So I don't see anyone parting with a good quarterback or even an average quarterback. So then we're looking at free agency. And
what if
we got Cam Newton?
There's someone from our friend Pablo's alma mater who could be available.
Oh, God. Oh, boy. Please, no.
Ring.
Please. I don't. I want that for him? Do I want that?
No, you don't. It's not going to go well. Whoever you put back there is not going to solve
thing.
The problem.
That's the issue I have as someone looking out for Ryan Fitzpatrick is that this is a job that's up to fail. Like, would Jimmy G want to wave a no trade alabaster, and would the 49ers lose him after week one? Right.
Well, alabaster.
Yeah, I think the 49ers are not in a position to move anybody right now. No. Not in that position.
Alabaster, as an ESPN producer, is there any way you can work like LeBron James into this somehow? Because we've got Cowboys, we've got Jimmy G. If we can work in like LeBron James and maybe sprinkle in a little Kevin Durant, I think we'd be good.
I see you working in the attic. Yeah. Over there working in the attic, Jacoby.
I can sneak that in. One, LeBron James is a Cowboys fan. Two, we didn't think this was worth breaking news, but Russell Westbrook put his house for sale in Los Angeles just now.
So yes!
Who knows? He could be the quarterback for the Cowboys.
Yes!
Yes.
Why are you so happy? You're not a Lakers fan.
I'm just worried about Jalen Jacoby tomorrow. That's like the A block right there.
I like it. Producer at heart. Yeah, I mean, I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is the answer. If you remember last time Jimmy Garoppolo was in Dallas, he was pulling Nathaniel Hackett. And just freezing in big time moments. So I guess he's better than Cooper Rush, but he's not changing anything there. And their roster is not in a position where they can be giving away draft picks or whatever it has to give away to get a quarterback like that. They need to just go ahead and ride this out. And sadly, they're going to rush Dak back and make things even worse and not only ruin this season, but ruin next season too.
A couple things. Dominique, if you're Jimmy Garoppolo, and you have a no-trade clause, would you have interest in this position?
Hell no. Hell no. They don't have an offensive line to protect him. They don't have a true number one. Right now, he's in the perfect position. He is just hanging out back there. He's the backup quarterback who's had success. People are just going to be telling him how he should be out there until he actually goes out there, and that team is actually built to succeed. And he's going to improve his winning percentage if he gets out there. Like, this is Why would you want to go down to Dallas to fail at the team that gets all the coverage? You're going to get so much attention. You're going to look bad and be exposed, because prior to this, Jimmy G hasn't really been on a roster that's weak. He's played on a lot of really good rosters with a lot of really good coaches and has managed the game well. Put him down there. Good luck. And it's going to get ugly.
I'm just glad that Jerry gave us
I'm familiar.
In here. Okay.
Just make Deliverance?
Huh? It's
the album. Bubba Sparks? Deliverance?
Yeah. Bubba Sparks.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the movie. My bad.
Oh, fair.
Proceed.
but speaking of incest, right? What do the Cowboys front office do here? Yeah, what do they decide? Steven, Jerry, everybody.
I have a question. The other side of that. Should Jimmy G sign off on that? In theory, if that trade happens, like he has the no trade clause, should he want to go start for a Cowboys team that might be bad?
Interesting question.
Do you listen to the show?
I'm trying to make Jimmy Garoppolo to the Cowboys happen.
Stop it, Pablo. Stop it. Hold on. Do not try to dive in and save Alabaster to embarrassment.
Do you listen to the show? I just asked that question. Alabaster.
Word for word.
Oh, sorry. I started zoning out when you started talking.
No, that's on me.
See,
no, Alabaster's turning into talent. When you're talent, you're only thinking about what you're saying next, and you don't listen.
Yeah.
So he's not producing anymore. He's full talent now.
Jacoby, I threw out a life preserver to Alabaster. Dominique jumped in the air, grabbed the rope, and pulled it away.
Yes, he did.
I was like, let's make this a bit. No, we're not. We're not making this a bit.
As a former producer who's now talent, I can see all the signs. I can't wait until he's hosting Get Up in 2034.
Sign off on the trade?
No. Don't sign off on the trade, Jimmy Garoppolo. Goodness gracious. St. Ignatius. So all right.
He's got a broken thumb in his throwing hand.
This attic.
Broken thumb in his throwing hand. Like, how
dramatic. Can we go back? Can we go back earlier in the show when... Oh, nice.
I admit, when Alabaster was flailing around, failing to produce the show in any way that was meaningful or helpful, I rhyme-zoned attic. So,
oh, nice.
Just full disclosure.
I want to go back to the part where you talked about having the Peyton Manning of your career watching your job and critiquing it on another channel. So, how much do you think it would cost to get Stephen A. to do a side cast of Debatable? Where he's just out here analyzing our takes.
Oh my god! Live
but you know how a tweet,
I have never been.
Do you know how a tweet gets ratioed? Our show would get ratioed. Like the thing is like the Peyton Manning cast is the sucker fish on the shark that is Monday Night Football, but like our actual source context would be the sucker fish on the shark.
That's right.
Of the Stephen A. Smith like, criticism show.
Yes. What if a great white shark was the remora fish on Barnacle? Like, what is that? I've never been more excited to watch something I wanted no part of. I was like, wow, that's actually an amazing, hilarious thing. And also, I just urinated myself.
Oh, man. Pablo Hackett. Who done it?
Hackett.
Pablo, I love that you just wanted to correct Jacoby that it's a remora, not a sucker fish, but we will move on.
I wasn't going to let that slide. All knew what it was.
I thought it was like a Star Wars reference or something.
Very,
we all knew what a remora
a very
was.
Classic well, actually.
We all know what a remora is?
We know what a remora fish is.
Are you serious?
I wasn't going to be the jerk that Pablo is. But
this is a fake television show.
Can I tell you something?
We all know what a remora fish is. We're just accepting that? Yeah.
Of course.
Of course.
I mean, on this show. I mean,
Alabaster, way in here.
Yeah, Alabaster knew. He weighed in.
Alabaster is a remora fish. He gets it
right.
Remora
Get off my
fish?
Tummy, Alabaster.
But also continue to clean my skin of plankton. Yeah.
Guys, we have, I think we have something to show you. If you want, if you want to see what it would look like to have someone reacting to this show and grading you guys, we have it.
This might send us on another long tangent, but you know, time out. Project can never get done. I want to know who got the first shape up. Because whenever you see civil rights leaders, Martin Luther King never had a fresh lineup. Like the 70s, nobody had a shape up in the 70s. That's brilliant. Outstanding work.
Brilliant.
The perfect.
Absolutely brilliant. Good. Well done. So, well done.
Standing okay. up and
well
I
done.
I assume that when you came back and asked the question that had already been asked, you must have been working on this, so everything is forgiven.
Exactly.
That was outstanding.
But also just and the having, fact, when you're like, who was the first person to get a lineup, and Peyton Manning goes like this.
Oh,
like,
yes. Yes. It was just perfect because Peyton Manning's line has been moving back.
Oh, no. Don't
really
resort to that.
So long.
Don't resort
not
to
really
that.
Has.
Don't
resort
to
what?
That.
The truth?
Hey, look, we all know what's – we all can see Peyton's attic. We know what's happening.
He can rent that thing out for $4,000 a month.
Oh, man. You told me not to do it?
Sorry.
You told me not to do it?
I had to do it. Gosh. I had to do it.
You got a great hairline. Just... Congratulations.
All right, let's
we
do some
got
quotes.
Pretty good hairlines. No, you want to talk about hairlines?
First quote.
Okay.
We're all talking receipts on all the people who continually mock and say that we're not going to do anything. I'm taking receipts, and I'm going to be more than happy to share them with all of you when all is said and done. And your choices are
Alabaster.
Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, Matt Eberflus, or Robert Saleh.
Loose. It's Robert.
We all know who this
yeah.
is.
Yeah, this quote was too good for us to miss it. D. Robert Saleh, final answer.
Bobby Saleh.
And I know it's going to happen. And I'm taking we're all taking receipts on all the people who continually mock and say that we ain't going to do anything. I'm taking receipts, and I'm going to be more than happy to share them with all of y'all when it's all said and done.
I can't wait till the confetti falls on Super Bowl 73, and they come over to him like, how do you feel in this moment? He's like, Daily News reporter Steve Jones, blogger
no,
from
no,
Pro
no,
Football
no.
Focus. It's just like
Jacoby. What happens is the confetti falls, and then you look up and realize the confetti is just receipts.
Again, brilliant.
It's just printed out columns.
Program today, guys.
Just printed out.
He also
blogs.
Said. He also said, "I'm taking receipts." Like, I get what you're saying, but like, if you're gonna
a little Greenberg somebody, in that lingo, gotta say,
yeah. Yeah. You don't take receipts, right? You keep receipts.
Does anyone right? that, another tangent that's completely just like going to anger everyone watching and working on this program? Does anyone ever want their receipt emailed to them or printed out? Like, is no receipt has to be the number one option? I've never been yeah. like, oh, text yeah. that receipt to me, please. I need to reference that later for the Snapple I just bought.
Yeah, that's just it's a ploy to get your email. They're like, yeah. would you like us yeah. to email your receipt? No.
No, exactly. I want my kiwi strawberry off the grid. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yes, yes. I apologize. Let's go back to talking about when the Jets are going to be good under Robert Saleh.
Oh,
never
man.
A clock.
I think we've solved that mystery pretty comprehensively. Yeah.
Well, you guys just entered us into his receipt taking. So
oh,
now
wow.
we had Robert Saleh has this video.
I forgot. I was watching the Jets. I watched the Jets because I like the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. I was like, oh, that's right. Joe Flacco is the quarterback. I was like, oh.
Also, Jacoby, you live in New York, and it was forced upon us on CBS.
Oh, no. Oh, no, I watch. I'm not watching the local shows. No.
Nah,
whatever man. The cost is. Oh. The number where $1 more for me to pay to get the direct ticket in the red zone, it's very high, very high.
I'm gonna.
Oh, there's Gino. Look at Gino right there behind
direct
you.
TV. There he is.
Hey, Gino.
There he is.
What's up, buddy?
Delivering. There he is. Milk draking himself. Milk drake ducking himself.
Oh, this so is happy. The Spanish language one. I think. Good for you.
Yeah, I know. I was.
Oh, do you think he said? Really do you think he said that in Spanish?
No escriba. I
no.
can't do it.
Si tu
Pablo?
Si tu me escribiste.
Hey,
this is not. This isn't good. This isn't good. Our bilingual
moving
audience
on.
Is just very upset with us right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pablo,
very
apologies.
Upset with us. Very upset with Pablo.
Lo siento.
Very disappointed with anybody named Pablo who sounded like that, admittedly.
Wow.
Understandable.
All right, let's
Give
move
it
on.
To me next.
But I will say, Pablo, you're really trying to make Milk Drake Duck happen, and it's not
I
it's
am.
Not going to happen.
Nah.
Next quote.
Just you wait.
Shoot or shoot.
I don't think I want to wait on that one. To quote my old boss, we've got to be careful of the rat poison of people telling us how good we are, which is important. And your choices are Mel Tucker, Kirby Smart, Lane Kiffin, or Steve Sarkisian.
Well, the old boss is obviously Nick Saban.
Yep.
I mean, I guess Kirby's smart.
Lane worked for him too. Sarkisian did one of those coaching internships.
Well, they lost though, but Sark
that's
lost.
True.
So. They were very competitive. It was very competitive.
I don't see Lane Kiffin venerating Nick Saban in this way, though.
That's fair.
But do you think he would? I'm going back to the SAT thing. Do you think he would? He would do two D's in a row? I don't think so.
Oh.
Kirby Smart. I don't know this all one. Right. I love Kirby Smart.
All right. I don't either. I truly don't. B, though, Scantron Logic, Jacoby, following that final answer, Kirby Smart.
To quote my old boss, we got to be careful of that poison of people telling us how good we are, which is important.
After a loss.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like it was so following a loss. And they lost their quarterback.
What do you guys want us to tell you, right? Receipts, rat poison, like I don't know how to compliment or criticize anyone at this point. What am I supposed to be doing here when Texas goes to number 21 losing?
You sound like a men's rights advocate. I can't even compliment coaches anymore. I just want to tell him he looks nice in his V-neck.
You sound like a
look great in a polo. Oh my gosh, the way you hold that clipboard is so sexy. I don't even know what I can say anymore.
You sound like a men's rights advocate. I didn't watch this game, right?
So true.
I was just whistling. What, I can't whistle anymore?
Oh my gosh. I meant your face cheeks, Pablo. Those are sweet.
Go ahead, Dominique, I will say. I don't think you can criticize Pablo for complimenting coaches or criticizing coaches when you might be the biggest water carrier, stan, simp for all players in every situation.
Wow.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. Alabaster is giving you a preview of the Dominique Foxworth show where he is going to be unleashed.
He didn't call Dominique. You a name. He called you like three names.
Yeah. I'm supposed to be offended by any of those things? None of those hurt my feelings. Like, I... completely comfortable with that. Like, we work at ESPN. Talk about remorphish off of athletes. The least thing we could do is carry a little water every now and then. All of our salaries are dependent on them going out there risking their bodies. So, yes, Alabaster, every now and then I will defend them against haters like you who never stuck their hand in the dirt.
To be fair, I am the remorphish on all of that. So, I do need that to continue.
Remora fish on the Remora fish.
I'm watching this game and I'm sitting here thinking, God, I want Texas to win, right? Is there anyone who didn't go to Alabama outside of the state of Alabama that doesn't root against Alabama in all forms because Alabama is that good?
I mean, Texas still sings that stupid song.
Alabama
is still Alabama.
Yeah.
It's hard.
That was a real Alien versus Predator game. Where I was like, whoever wins, we do lose, it feels like. I don't like Texas. Like,
yeah, I don't like Texas. I don't like Alabama. I at least like appreciate Alabama's greatness. I don't know. It was nice that it gave us a good game.
I hate all Alabama players, but once they make it to the NFL, I love them. I don't know how that could possibly be.
Yo, Jerry Jeudy, man, in that game last night.
Ooh, Jerry Judy's so good. I mean, isn't like, what is the percentage of players in the league that went to Alabama? It's got to be like 10-15%, right?
Every time in the draft, like first round draft picks is probably a better metric where it's like, it's a high percentage.
There's like a Dominican Republic feeder system to baseball dynamic with Alabama, where it's just like, you guys all come from this one island? That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Bryce Young was so incredible. He's going to be good, right?
He was. Short, though. He was. I mean, does he have a Lego body problem? Is that a Lego?
No. He's not that tall, but he's also not that wide. Like, he's taller than he is wide. Russ.
But think about how he would look in a suit. But think about how he would look in a suit.
Wait, Dominique just declared that Russell Wilson is a chode. I just wanted to keep that just very, very clear.
Okay, one more quote.
It's time to get out of here.
I think I'm one of the best offensive players and talents the NBA has ever seen. And your choices are LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, Karl Anthony Towns, or J.R. Smith.
Well, I know this one.
It can't be LeBron, it can't be Kyrie, right?
Yeah, we hear about it already if it was them.
Yeah. Cats, I mean, JR is on a positive news cycle these days. He's playing golf. He's going to school. I feel like it's got to be Carl Anthony Towns. What do you think, Pablo?
See, Jacoby, are you leaning that way? Jacoby knows the answer to this. That's what I'm getting from him. I'm reading him. You know the answer to this.
You don't have to read him. He said it. He said it. Don't be like Alabaster. He just said, I know.
Does my mic work?
Yeah, I heard you. It only works for me, apparently.
Yeah, I guess.
See, final answer, Carl Anthony Towns.
Yes.
Oh,
so let me, I've got thoughts on this one. Okay. And we've got 7 minutes to fill. So you're welcome. This is a classic case of it's first of all, it's factually wrong and insane, whatever, but he's also saying right before this, he says Rudy Gobert is one of the best defensive talents. Right. So this is really not just about him like pounding his chest. There it is. He's thank you, Alabaster. Like he painted his way into this corner where he had to say that. Right. So I think that while this is insane sounding on its surface, call yourself one of the best offensive talents in the history of the NBA when you've never won a scoring title or averaged over 24 points is insane. But in his defense, he's really just talking about the pairing of him and Rudy Gobert, which I would love to discuss at length. But I ask this for you two is there's a spectrum of like the super humble athlete that's just like, listen, I'm just trying to be the best I can be, and I stand on the giants that were there before me. And there's this other end of the spectrum where it's like, I am the greatest player to ever play, and that's what fuels me. What do you think, where do you think he fits on the spectrum, and where do you want your athletes to be as a media member?
Well, okay, go ahead.
There's just that quote, Dominique, that I want to read. Alabaster helpfully laid this one down. Carl Anthony Towns did say last year, quote, I'm the greatest big man shooter of all time, end quote. And there are natural counters to that, Dirk being one of them, most obviously. But it does feel, Dominique, like to Jacoby's question, Carl Anthony Towns is on that sort of rung where he is good, but he also thinks he's better than he is. And people find that infuriating given the other things we know about him, which I do think we can unpack a little bit because he does get a lot of shit for thinking a delusional thing when sometimes we praise people for being delusional about themselves. Yeah.
What was the original quote again?
Oh, it's good. It's good.
One of the best offensive players and talent the NBA has ever seen.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
How many bests can there be?
We're going accurate. In the history of the NBA, you can't name 10 better offensive talents than Carl Anthony Towns.
He didn't say I was one of the 10.
Wait, Dominique, Titan, your defense attorney, Ty.
I love this.
Crafting a case.
Two of the most useful words in sports media.
One of the two most useful words
in sports media. What does one of mean?
In the history of the NBA, there have been tens of thousands of players.
I love this.
You trying to tell me he not in the top 10% of offensive talent?
One of.
One percentile. Yeah.
Accolade. That's
right. I love this.
Can I hop in for a second? Dominique is completely right. He might be top 2% or 1%. I'm not saying he's one of the best players. Dominique, 100% right. God,
this is brilliant.
That's my case.
This is absolutely brilliant.
Way to go, Cat.
Cat.
Way to get these dummies.
Cat has learned those two words, one of. If you say one of, you could literally say anything. Like anything. I'm one of the tallest people to ever walk the planet. I am.
I mean, I guess, but dude,
how do we define one of?
You're not nearly as tall as Cat is good at offense. So if you think you're one of the tallest, Cat is definitely one of the best.
Okay. Let me get a basketball reference over here. What's the most you think Carl Anthony Towns has ever averaged in a season?
I mean, a lot more than most NBA players. I know that.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I believe that if you are the top 15%, if you're the top percentile,
Right.
Yeah.
Loophole. We found us a loophole.
It's I love good. It. I think he didn't even use. I also love another trick. Don't even say best. Say like most impressive. Just use like a artistic interpretation word. Nice. He actually did put some teeth on this, but he left the wiggle room because he is a veteran tooth. At this point.
Yeah, it's got a gummy smile with just one tooth.
What a deliverance ass smile. Yeah.
I have a stat for you guys that just blew my mind. Cat has the 11th highest PER in NBA history, career PER. He is the 11th most efficient player in NBA history.
PER.
PER.
Dominique should absolutely. No, Dominique is absolutely now. Yeah.
Rest
he's
my case.
He's the law firm of PER is what he's working
we
for.
We rest our case. And we'll be calling Nathaniel Hackett. And it's to really challenge our abilities to see if we can defend that awful decision. We're going to be in the
oh, wow. Oh, wow. You got charged. You got charged double to defend those. You got charged double there. So
that's a J.R. Smith heat check. That one is of the things
Carl Anthony Towns is doing something that I love here is we all like to sort of prioritize and exaggerate the features that we have as individuals. Right. So he's like, don't like offense is the most important thing in the world because he can't play defense. Bro, you understand that your front office just traded an unfathomable amount of draft assets to bring in a defensive 7-footer because you are 7 feet tall. You can reach your hand up and basically touch the rim, but you can't protect the rim. Like the words are the words, but the actions are so loud I can't hear them. They looked at you, a 7-foot basketball player, and said, we need to bring in Rudy Gobert to cover big men.
Yeah.
What he should say next is, we are the best player the NBA has ever seen.
I mean, they would be pretty good.
As a Voltron, are the greatest player in NBA history. Alabaster?
Jacoby, just to go a little bit further on this.
Would you
say that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or Stephen Curry or Hakeem Olajuwon or Julius Erving or Larry Bird or Magic Johnson are some of the best and most talented offensive players in NBA history? Because Towns is above all of them in PER.
PER, bro. PER. Has Karl Anthony Towns ever won a scoring title? Which is – I'm sorry. Scoring for my offensive talents. Has he ever won a scoring title? How many assists? What about assists? Anything like that? Or what about, I don't know, playoff series wins? Anything? Is there any other metrics that we have? MVPs?
Advanced statistics.
MVPs?
Get out of here. We got advanced statistics. Good.
Can you do the research?
Who's number one? Hold on.
Dominique, as Carl Towns' attorney, what you don't want to ask is who else is on this list in the top 10.
I do.
Oh, I like that.
Who's number one on the list?
Go to overtime.
Michael Jordan.
Boom! I knew it!
Number two,
PR.
LeBron James.
Boom.
Keep going.
Number three, Nikola Jokic. Number four, Anthony Davis. Number five, Shaquille O'Neal. Number six, David Robinson. Number seven, Wilt Chamberlain. Number eight, Bob Pettit. Number nine, Kevin Durant.
Wait for it.
Number 10,
Bob Pettit.
Wait for it. Number 10,
Neil Johnston.
Yes. Congratulations, Neil Johnston. 10th greatest player of all time. Do you even know what Neil Johnston is? What is a Neil Johnston? Does anyone know what a Neil Johnston is?
One of the best offensive players in the history of the NBA.
Sex position.
Corona. Thanks, Corona.
Close it before Corona cancels the sponsorship.
Corona.
I forgot to retweet the show. I'll do it later. Damn it.
Oh, that was a good one. Neil Johnston's nicknames are Gabby and Olhos.
Oh, wow. Also sex positions. What?